Yesterday, I sent those of you who are members and friends here a letter about the coronavirus, this new virus that is spreading quickly across the world and came Friday to the southwest part of the Portland metro area. The school where the patient worked is 4 miles from my home. How improbable this was. I was just lying in bed Saturday morning, getting up slowly, ready for a full day of writing since I hadn't made much progress on this sermon because of all the preparations for the installation and some pastoral issues that had taken up much of my week. In that lazy frame of mind, I decided to glance at the New York Times before I got up, which is not something I really actually recommend that you do, but almost immediately, I learned that the coronavirus was in Oregon, outside of Portland. I quickly did another search. Lake Oswego, my address. Hillsboro. What? At the board meeting on Wednesday, we had talked about the coronavirus and being prepared, but no one felt very rushed to make an actual plan. Now it was here? How was this real? How did this happen? Our theme this month is wisdom. I was fairly excited about this. What a rich topic, I thought. How much depth there is in the subject of wisdom. For don't we all want to be wise? I think of it as the reason we become religious or spiritual or ethical. We want to know how to be and live in this life of ours. We want to be wise. So I started preparing the sermon by writing a few wise things that really speak to me. One was from the story that I told this morning, "This too shall pass." Then I typed some words from Ralph Waldo Emerson that I return to from time to time that remind me of who I want to be. "To laugh often and much," he wrote so long ago, "to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know that even one life has breathed better, easier, because you have lived. This is to have succeeded." I relish this quote from Emerson. It feels so wise about what truly matters in life. After I wrote Emerson's quote and read it a couple of times, I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there. I put my fingers on the keys. What I had written had seemed to summarize things quite nicely, I thought. What else could I possibly say? After a while, I decided perhaps more research was necessary. So as I drove around in my car, I started listening to podcasts about wisdom. I started with TED Talks because they are very concise. You can get a lot in one car trip. I listened to a TED Talk by a psychologist about the loss of wisdom in our society. His conclusion, it would be good to look past bureaucracies and be kind to each other. Well, yes, I thought that was true. I listened to another by a young man who traveled with religious leaders and summarized what he thought was true about wise people. He said, wise people say, "I don't know." They are vulnerable. And they go slow, he said. Well, yes, I thought. Very nice. Then I came to a TED Radio Hour session about wisdom in unexpected places. I listened to an interview with the essayist Pico Iyer about the wisdom he'd found playing ping pong. His wisdom is that games can be fun, but competition can ruin that fun, so we should find ways to play games in non-competitive ways. Well, yes, I thought that seemed true, but also rather random. Then I switched and listened to an Oprah podcast about wisdom she'd learned doing her Super Soul Sunday interviews with wise people from across the globe. This consisted of 40 minutes of snippets of voices from many of her interviews. I recognized Eckhart Tolle and Brené Brown, but most of them I didn't. But there was a summary. Live in the moment. Be mindful. Set intentions. Well, yes, I thought. Definitely. Very wise. There were so many podcast choices. There are podcasts exploring Buddhist wisdom, shamanic wisdom, entrepreneurial wisdom, the wisdom of Catholic women, and the wisdom of ordinary people. I could learn, if I chose, about the wisdom of Proverbs, of Athena, of police officers, and of hair. How to even decide? I felt like the man in the story looking for the right ring. He discovered rings everywhere. I discovered wisdom everywhere. But it wasn't the right rings. And while I loved all that wisdom, none of it seemed just right. I thought reading was perhaps a better choice. I went to Brain Pickings, which is a weekly blog by Maria Popova, who reads and muses on the works of the canonical writers, seeking their wisdom. After 13 years of writing the blog, she wrote 13 life learnings. And these were lovely to read, so thoughtful, and they felt truly wise. Her first was, give yourself the uncomfortable luxury of changing your mind. She also recommended being generous and seeking out what magnifies your spirit. And don't just resist cynicism, fight it actively. And Annie Lamott had created 12 truths she had learned from life and writing. Hers were a bit grittier than Popova's, but seemed wise in a different way. For example, number 3 was, almost nothing on the outside can help you in a lasting way. And number 4 was, everyone is screwed up, broken, clingy, and scared, even the people who seem to have it most together. And those seemed pretty true to me, too, and wise to remember. Everything I read seemed wise and true, but still, it wasn't the right ring. I wanted a wisdom that would speak to all of us today. And I know on any given day, some of us are suffering. Others are feeling joy. And all of us are managing the complexity of our bodies and of our relationships while working to make meaning of our lives, to make a difference in the world. We live in a time of endless words and opinions, a changing climate, overwhelming busyness, the failing of truth, and hyper-individualism. Coronavirus is spreading, and people are panicking. I guess the stores in Portland yesterday were insane. What wisdom do we need now? So much of the wisdom that I read and heard felt good and true and right to follow. Do let us be kind. Let us remember that everyone suffers, everyone is broken. Let us live in the present moment, because that is truly all we have. Let us be mindful and generous. Go slow. Let us remember we often really don't know, and it's okay to change our minds. But this wasn't the wisdom I sought for this moment. And then I found a book called Becoming Wise by Krista Tippett. You may know her. She has a weekly podcast called On Being, where she interviews all kinds of people, from neuroscientists to poets, about life and its meaning. Her book was her attempt, like Maria Popova's, Annie Lamont's, and Oprah Winfrey's, to make some sense of all that she had learned over the years. In it, Tippett wrote a definition of wisdom that shifted my entire inquiry. Wisdom of the everyday sort, she wrote, is about how we reckon with the surprises and mysteries that make life life, as opposed to status. I am emboldened by the fact that surprise is the only constant, she wrote. We are never really running the show, never really in control, and nothing will go quite as we imagined it. Our highest ambitions will be off, but so will our worst prognostications, change and surprise are the only constants. Change and surprise are the only constants. This is the fundamental truth of being alive. And I forget that a lot. I get caught up in this idea that I can wrestle life into a place where I want it to be, a happy, healthy state where I will just stay there. I spend a lot of my time engaging in this activity. If I just did this or that or had more of the other, I would be living the life that I really enjoyed the most. You know, where I laugh often and much and have won the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, but also exercised every day and wrote some poetry. At this point, I would be successful. I think Tippett's definition of wisdom can help us discover what is truly wise. Wisdom, she says, is about how we reckon with the surprises and mysteries that make life life, as opposed to status. Wisdom is an approach. It's an attitude. It is how we wrestle with the realities of our lives. It is how we manage when things shift. It is how we make sense of things when life surprises us. It is what we do when we have to deal with something entirely new and unexpected. Pema Chodron, a Buddhist nun and writer, also talks about uncertainty as the basic truth of life. The Buddha called it impermanence. Nothing is permanent. We spend our lives trying to be happy, trying to set up the perfect circumstances for our happiness. But happiness is never stable. Life is changing always. And so sometimes we feel other ways. Things that are hard to feel. Anger, depression, anxiety. And we push those feelings away. We don't like them. And we grasp for what makes us feel good and in control, even if it's not always helpful. Maybe our choice is alcohol, or food, or shopping, or television, or cynicism. Chodron says most of us spend our lives trying to pretend life is certain and controllable. We don't like uncertainty. There have been studies that show we prefer pain as humans to uncertainty. It's simply our nature. We make plans. We count on things. We say until death do you part, and we believe that that will make us happy. And it will work out. And if it doesn't work out, or it didn't make us happy, we grasp for a new relationship because we believe that relationships, the right relationship, will make us happy. We put money into our houses and our retirements and believe these will make us secure. We eat right and exercise and believe this means we will be healthy. I can't tell you how many people have said to me in shock, but so-and-so can't have cancer. They ate right and exercised because they believe the story that we can really control what happens to us by what we do. We believe if we are good and kind to others, they will be good and kind to us. We believe if we are good people, bad things won't happen to us. We believe if we follow the rules, whatever they are, however we've come up with that set of rules, everything will be okay. But as both Tippett and Chodron tell us, life is just one surprise after another. We control very little, as hard as we try. Wisdom, says Krista Tippett, is about how we reckon with the surprises and mysteries that make life life, as opposed to status. What is that method of reckoning? Well, it turns out there are many, many methods. Think back to that endless list of podcasts, or perhaps think of the books on your very own bookshelf. Wisdom is something we learn as we go along. The wisdom we live is something that we get to choose. Which is why I couldn't choose the perfect piece of wisdom for all of us in this moment in history today. Because for each of us, that's going to be different. Shodron wisdom is to let us go, and says to let go and relax into the uncertainty of life. Just enjoy the ride, she says. Stop holding on so tight. Tippett believes in paying attention to our experience. She says we find our way when we get surprised, when the plan doesn't work out. She uncovers the story all the time in interviews, the accident, the heartbreak, the diagnosis, and the ways people work through these to find wisdom. She says to us, you have your own stories, the dramatic and the more ordinary moments, where what has gone wrong becomes an opening to more of yourself and part of your gift to the world. This is the beginning of wisdom. We discover how to reckon, how to make sense of the surprises and mysteries of life. We find our way through. We embrace this approach in Unitarian Universalism. Our wisdom is what we discover within us. We each become wise in our own way. We don't do this alone, however. We seek and attend to all the ways others have found as they are twisting down the rapids of life. What do our friends and family, scientists and mystics, theologians and poets, tell us about how to make our way? We are all human. We suffer. We struggle. We try to make sense and reach out for what pulls us through each challenging time. We discover what makes sense for us in a particular situation and moment. And we hold on to that. The coronavirus was discovered in a school 4 miles from my house and 8 miles from right here, all the way from China, on some route no one can map. That is a surprise. That is an unexpected twist of life. Yesterday, as I alternated reading Pema Chodron with and information about coronavirus and how to prevent it, it seemed clear that people are trying to control what by its very nature is unpredictable, a brand new virus. We can make a difference in a spread, we know that for sure, by washing our hands and cleaning common surfaces and keeping people isolated while they're ill. But there is so much that is uncertain. We don't know how the virus will spread, or how many people will get ill, or how ill they'll get, or if they'll die. People are making predictions all over the place. I did read the New York Times this morning before I got up, and I'm telling you, the opinion section is just this, all these kinds of predictions, what we should do, what could happen in the future. And it's anywhere from this is going to burn back by the summer, this is no big deal, to soon it's going to be a pandemic and kill millions of people. It is not every single thing about this virus is completely uncertain. We do know a few things. We know some people are going to get sick, and they are going to feel very uncomfortable for a while, or maybe not that uncomfortable, but uncomfortable. And we know that almost all of them are going to recover from it. And a few people, probably the most fragile, are going to die from it. And for those people and those that love them, this will be very sad. And it's not what anyone ever wanted. It's one of those surprises, like being 49 years old and discovering your hip pain was cancer. It's not what anyone wanted. But beyond those things, no one actually knows how this virus is going to act in the world. And we hate this. That's why everyone keeps talking about it. And we talk about it among ourselves like we're trying to make sense of it. We want to know. And it's uncertain. We don't know. It is exactly like this electability question about the Democratic nominee for president. That has been debated for months, is debated constantly, it's debated in the media, and it's debated in our homes and among friends. Everyone is trying to figure out who can beat Trump. There are opinions every which way, based on the latest poll and who they polled and what state, and people's ideas about what other people think. Most people aren't even asking which candidate they think will take the country in the direction they want, but who they think other people they don't know anything about will elect on election days. This is all completely uncertain and absolutely uncontrollable in all of the usual ways we try to control things. Remember, Trump was not electable. Trump was never going to win. Life is one surprise after another. In this moment in our public lives and our private lives, we get to choose our own way of reckoning. What is our approach to the uncertainties and surprises of life? What wisdom will each of us live into? Do we relax into life, as Chodron suggests, letting the fear flow away, being present just to what is? Do we remember that this too shall pass? Will we live in each moment, appreciating it with gratitude? In the uncertainty of our shared lives, will we seek out what magnifies our spirit? Will we give up cynicism? Will we open our hearts to each other and our neighbors and be kind and generous and thoughtful as we navigate these surprises together? We live, as we always have, in uncertain times. And as we do, let us have our hearts in holy place. This is our benediction. Walk softly, speak truthfully, love gently, breathe deeply, live wisely, go in peace.